Upon entrance into seminary, they asked the candidates, "What was the best homily you ever heard?" And without hesitating, I answered, "It was a daily homily from a priest I never met." This priest was very old and frail. He had a walker, and every single step from the presider's chair to the ambo was sheer agony. You could see the grimace on his face. And then on October 19, 2002, he told the powerful story of St. Isaac Jogues and his companion, John de la Boeuf. They were Jesuit missionaries who served in New York State. And when they were in the native country, they knew the most atrocious, mind-blowing tortures awaited them for love of Jesus. And he read some of their memoirs about how they knew their death was approaching. And the heroism of these saints is beyond comprehension. Without going into graphic detail, one of them had two of his fingers removed. He went through a gauntlet of the most horrific forms of torture, and he should have been dead. Miraculously, he lived. He was able to get back onto a boat to go back to Europe. And over months and months of rehabilitation, he got stronger. He had his whole body contorted. His hands could not close from the beating. But through prayer without ceasing, he petitioned the Pope to do the unthinkable. He asked the Pope to send him back to New York, to send him back to the same tribe that did all the horrific things to him. He got a special indult to say Mass without these fingers. And he went back with every drop of his strength and poured out his love to the natives. This saint lived out in a powerful way the Lord's commission to pray always without becoming weary. This man stared humiliation, torture, psychological warfare, meager food and rations, and he combated it with the Eucharist, with ceaseless prayer, and unbounding love. We must overcome an abyss of evil, Pope John Paul II says, with an abyss of love. The revolution that the saints started was not with bullets. It was not with power and might and strength and weapons. It was with love. Love brought down the Iron Curtain. Love took on the worst of our sins, the worst of atrocious acts against humanity, and defeated it on the altar of the cross. The same love that filled Jesus' heart as the nails were going through his wrists and his feet, that same love is in your heart, in my heart. You see, when we are baptized and when we're in the state of grace, God dwells inside of us. He dwells in us to help us think with his mind, love with his heart, and work with his hands. You see, this God is an intimate God that is closer than our next breath. Sanctification means to be set apart from within. From within, he dwells, and we are his precious temple. The natives were so astounded at St. Isaac Job and John de la Boeuf that after they killed them, they knew they were extraordinary, extraordinary men. To give them the courage to never, ever say an unkind word back in return for the torture. To be praying for their executioners. They imitated the very love and life of Jesus, where the Gospels record that while they were pounding the nails into his wrists and feet, in the very act of crucifixion, the Gospel of Luke records, Jesus was praying, "Abba, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing." This love abides in you. This love is accessible. And it's about actualizing this love. If you had $1 million given to you and you kept it in your basement under lock and key and never opened the treasure chest up once to spend that $1 million, what good is it? We have the inmost life of the most blessed Trinity. St. Peter says, "Do you not know that you are participators in the divine nature?" When the demons saw St. Therese, they were terrified of her because they saw God dwelling inside of her. We are sacred. We are set apart. That is why the Catholic Church and all her children take so seriously sin. That is why we have a penitential act and saying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Why? Because we want our temples as clean as possible. Sacred means to be set apart. And before every Mass, for 1 hour, the priest is waiting in the confessional to give priestly absolution. "And I absolve you of all your sins." The same absolution St. Isaac Job offered to anyone who repented. The same absolution that the Lord offered the thief on the cross who was being crucified a few feet from him. He is an ocean of mercy. But what happens if you never take a drink of that life-giving water? What happens if you stop eating? You get weak. You and I need the Lord more than the oxygen we breathe. Saint Isaac Jogues clung to prayer more than anything in life because he knew he was in an impossibly difficult, gut-wrenching, torturous situation. Day after day after day, week after week, year after year. And it's so easy as Americans to get comfortable, to rely on ourselves, our entertainments, our wealth, our everything, nutrition. We get complacent. That is why the Lord invites us a little bit each week of fasting and prayer. Maybe one less cup of coffee. Maybe to shut the internet off a few minutes shorter. Maybe it's to call someone up on the phone in your family or relatives who is desperate or lonely. To get outside of ourselves. To give of ourselves. To actualize this world-changing love. God plus one is an army. God united to you can change the little corner of the world he has planted you in. It's about actualizing this indwelling life of the Trinity within us. And we heard in Scripture, in our second reading, the importance of daily reading of the Bible. The Scriptures are our food, together with the Eucharist. St. Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. St. Bonaventure said, the more we know about God, the more we will love God. And the more we love God, the more we'll want to know about God. We have to be set on fire. That is why the Scriptures renew our mind, to set our hearts on fire with the love of God. And the more we're on fire with the love of God, we can overcome every evil, every challenge, every temptation, because the love of the Sacred Heart is inside of us to be saints.